Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. It's free flowing Freaky Friday on the Andy and Amanda Show. But this isn't a normal Andy and Amanda Show. Mm-mm. This is the Andy and Amanda Love Show. The conversation continues. We know you enjoyed our show Wednesday so much, so we decided we keep the conversation alive, talking love, intimacy, relationship, sex, anything you want to talk about. We're here. 515-605-9888. Come on, baby. Join the conversation. The Andy and Amanda Love Show.
The time has come for us to pause and think of living as it was.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
All right, Gav. I'm good, darling. How are you?
I'm very fine. I love the song.
Yeah, right?
I love
smooth,
that song.
Smooth, baby.
It's smooth, baby. It's smooth, just like the Andy and Amanda Love Show.
Absolutely. Love.
This is Love Show. Yeah, a lot to talk about today. A few things I want to talk about. We're going to continue our conversation that we had on Wednesday, folks, which is all about love, sex, intimacy, relationships, all that good fun stuff. You know, we want your calls, too. You can dial into the show. If you're in North America, at 515-605-9888. And if you want to join us internationally, well, then hell, just send us an email at andyandamandashow.com. We will return your email with a link where you can join the show over the internet. Yes, that's true. Over the internet, all you need is a microphone, a headset, a bugle horn, something that will enable us to hear you. You know, or really loud voice.
You know, love it.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, what are they called? What you hold to your mouth and you switch the button and it's like really, really loud. I forget what people use them out in public, right? They're like the police.
It's a kazoo.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, remember this, folks. Don't forget.
I think what you just said is very important.
It is. That's how you join the show. All sorts of ways here. Don't miss out. It's 515-605-9888. We'll stay here and be quiet until we hear from you.
Okay.
You know what I was thinking, about a while ago?
What's that?
I was thinking that there are 8 billion people in the world.
Okay.
And not one of them, right? That's a lot of people. That's a lot of human beings that have...
Yeah.
That have voices and hands that can pick up a phone and dial and all that kind of stuff, right? 8 billion people in the world, not one out of 8 billion is calling me. Not one.
No, that's
Mm-mm.
no good.
Mm-mm.
Andy, that's not fair. Mm-mm. I'll call you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the way it is.
I know, it doesn't mean I want it to be that way. You know,
what
I'm saying? Yeah. Do you know... I was going to say something, but I just remember what. Do you, buddy chance?
Hang on. Let me just focus and concentrate on the, you know, my usual
focus.
Procedure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. You're usually right. Let me
was
think
it
here.
About the news? Something in the news? Your day?
Yeah, my day so far has been pretty. You know, I fell asleep last night.
You did? Mm-hmm. You not fall asleep normally. It took all this time for you to fall asleep.
Oh gosh, this is not intentional. You know, there used to be a time. You know, when you go back to like George and Gracie and Jack Benny and you know George, all these people, they used to have a straight person and a comedian. They would form a duo and they go around touring all these vaudeville stages and so forth. This is not intentional. You know, Amanda and I have never met, you know, and we keep saying that because we have a lot of new listeners every show. But Amanda's in the UK, I guess. Did we tell people who we were and where we were?
I think we have in previous shows, yeah. I mean, I always end the show with somewhere in the UK because we always have fun about whereabouts I'm based. But everybody knows that I'm like 2 hours outside London. That's the thing, right?
He knows exactly what he's doing. But I would add this. He knows what he is doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I'm not so sure about that. Because normally when you go into a show and you're starting a radio show, and you say, well, this is the show and here we are. But I don't think we did that. So we have a new audience every show. We have our listeners are going. And welcome everybody aboard. This is the Andy Amanda show. That's what the show is. Amanda is, in fact, in the UK. I am, in fact, right outside of Los Angeles, California. And we have never met. Our show coordinator who put us together is a guy named Cornell Butler, who often joins the show. He's a funny guy and always a pleasure to have on. We never met Cornell. You know, none of us have met. We've had, as a matter of fact, Amanda, my gosh, I almost forgot.
Yes.
Today marks 1 year. You know, our show is called Coast to Coast. You know, it's Andy and Amanda on Coast to Coast. That's the actual name of the show. So we started Coast to Coast doing the show 1 year ago yesterday or today. I see the 15th or 16th of April. But it's been a year. And we have to maybe over the weekend I'll put together like a tribute show commemorating 1 year. But the Amanda and Andy show started I think in June or July. But the actual program that we're on right now at this phone number in this studio started 1 year ago, like today. It was a 15-minute show, a commentary on the news and on the askew in the world, as seen from, you know, a black guy in Philadelphia and a white guy in California, and our even though like-minded and our thoughts and things and you know how the differences in how we look at the world coming from our individual backgrounds. It was kind of interesting conversation, and that went on for a while, and you know BLM and George Floyd and all that and all news, and then Cornell came aboard, and then you joined us in June or July. We started the Andy and Amanda show, and here we are, you know, 300 and some odd episodes later, a year later, and we're still doing the show. I almost forgot. Whoa.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Really. You know, I was going to say, this is a, you know, for those of you who missed Wednesday's show, what were we talking about Wednesday? I just have a note here.
We were talking about all the good stuff, weren't we? We were talking about all the things that we're talking about today.
My notes say, continue Wednesday's conversation. Okay, what was that about? Let me think. Continue. Let me think here.
I know I talked on Wednesday. I said some words.
Who am I? Why am I here?
Yeah. I can remind you of that, sweetheart. You're on the radio show, being a co-host, and we're like, all this fun stuff.
You know, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We're here to talk about on this show, as the introduction indicated. We're talking about relationships and.
Love
and love and sex
and intimacy. Yes.
And we'll touch on the news a little bit too, because there's a lot of kind of fun stuff that we should, fun stuff. You want to call it whatever fun. You know, there's the news, and there's press conferences and recordings of the news and things we see in the news. And then there's the news as recorded on this show, which somehow ends up a little different than CNN and Fox. I don't know how that happens, because you'd think we both have the same devices that we use to record people talking at the podium and stuff, you know. But for some reason, which I can't quite explain, when we play things, they end up different than what I hear on Fox and CNN. And
they really do. Yeah,
they do. I don't know how that, you know, and the people who we interview, you take, you know, how many news programs reach out and speak with people like the former president Richard Nixon and Alfred Hitchcock and so forth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, whoa. I get so excited about all these wonderful, weird things happening on the show, Andy. I'm just always surprised and on the edge of my seat as to what comes next, you know?
You never know. But we want to talk about the things. But here's what else. Before we get on, and I'm as anxious and look forward to talking about sex. Excuse me, about relationships as anybody. but first, I want to play a because I think this is important. We all know who Fauci is, you know, right? Fauci is the head, right? Okay, so he's been the leader of the fight against this horrific coronavirus that has so affected horrifically the world population. You know, in the United States, over 560,000 people. I mean, this is, dead, you know, people in this country, let alone the world and the UK. So Fauci has been a regular, you know, he goes and testifies before the House and has these battles with Congressman, the lunatic Congressman Jordan. And we have a microphone at the, you know, we're lucky enough to get recordings of what actually went on. And what we also didn't know is that this battle between Jordan and Fauci and other members of Congress and people who testify has been such, you know, it just, you know, we decided to, just like they did. Remember we had the Harlem Globetrotters referee and coach on, and we talked about how they made a cartoon of the success of the, right? Well, we figured here at the Andy Demanda Show that the, what's going on in Washington, D.C. is such a zoo. It's that we should have a cartoon program, and maybe this would educate kids about what goes on in Washington if they were actually not only able to see what's going on in Washington, but actually visualize it and hear it as a cartoon. Make it entertaining, for Christ's sake, right? So this is what has been going on in Washington. They decided, you know, we got, you know, education is of prime importance to all of us and is on the infrastructure bill of President Biden. And part of that education bill is, in fact, we need to make politics and speeches and debate and congressional hearings, we need to just turn it all into a cartoon, because that way it would be more entertaining and more engaging. So we have a clip of it here. And the clip we have is Fauci and Representative Jordan just having a go at it. A go at it, as they say. So without further ado, only on the Andy. How come I keep saying the Andy and Mandy? Only on the Andy and Mandy show. I don't even know where I am. Only on the Andy and Amanda program. So folks, listen in. Listen in. Here we go. This is Fauci and Representative Jordan. I think. You never know, but I think this is what it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Fauci. When is the time? Well, in your written statement, you say, now is not the time to pull back on masking, physical distancing, and avoiding congregate settings. When is the time? When is the time? When is the time?
When is the time?
When do Americans get their freedom?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high.
What is low enough? Give me a number. We had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year of lost liberty. What metrics, what measures, what has to happen before Americans get more freedom?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can, to get the level of infection in this country low that it is no longer a threat. That is when. And I believe when that happens, you will see.
What determines when? I'm sorry. What? What measure? Are we just going to continue this forever? Or when do we get to the point? What measure, what standard, what objective outcome do we have to reach before Americans get their liberty and freedoms back?
You know, you're indicating liberty and freedom. I look at it as a public health measure to prevent people from dying and going to the hospital.
You don't think Americans' liberties have been threatened last year, Dr. Fauci? They've been assaulted. Their liberties have.
I don't look at this as a liberty thing, Congressman Jordan.
Well, that's obvious.
As a public health thing. But I disagree with you on that.
The Constitution
is suspended during a virus, during a pandemic? It's certainly not.
This will end for sure when we get the level of infection very low. It is now at such a high level, there's a threat again of major.
Dr. Fauci, over the last year, Americans' First Amendment rights have been completely attacked. Your right to go to church, your right to assemble, your right to petition your government, freedom of the press, freedom of speech have all been assaulted. I mean, for a year now, Americans haven't been able to go to church. Even today, when they go to church, they're limited in the size of worshipers who can meet. Your right to assemble? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
He had a curfew last fall in Ohio. You had to be in your home at 10. In Pennsylvania, you had to be in your home. When you're in your home, you had to wear a mask. In Vermont, when you're in your home, you didn't have to wear a mask, Dr. Fauci, because you weren't allowed to have people over to your house.
Yeah, Congressman Jordan.
Your ability to petition your government for a year, American citizens haven't been able to come to their capital to petition their government to talk to their representatives and freedom of the press. These very pictures that Representative Scalise just showed you and talked about?
Sherman, I think I do remember hearing something on TV about colon cleansing. They say everyone should have one. I'm thinking about getting me an appointment and go down and getting my colon cleansed thoroughly.
Guess what? The press isn't allowed in those facilities. The press is not, the Biden administration will not let the press in there. And certainly freedom of speech. I mean, freedom, the governor of our third largest state meets with physicians and that, and
that
video is censored because they dare to disagree with Dr. Fauci. So I just want to know, when do Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
You know, I don't think anything was censured because they felt they couldn't disagree with me. I think you're making this a personal thing, and it isn't.
It's not a personal thing? Oh, my goodness.
No, you are. That is exactly what you're doing.
No, your recommendations carry a lot of weight, Dr. Fauci. We just had the chair of the Financial Services Committee said she loves you, and you're the greatest thing in the world.
Will
my
the
recommendations are consistent.
Will the gentleman yield?
No, it's fine.
Michael, can I answer the question, please? My recommendations are not a personal recommendation. It's based on the CDC guidance, which is.
I'm asking a question. What measures have to be attained before Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
I just told you that.
I know you haven't given anything specific. You said we hope when this certain. Tell me specific. What?
Right now, we have about 60,000 infections a day, which is a very large risk for a surge. We're not talking about liberties. We're talking about a pandemic that has killed 560,000 Americans.
I don't disagree with that. And I understand how serious that is. But I also said it's pretty serious when businesses have been shut down. People can't go to church. People can't assemble in their own homes with their friends, with their families.
Oh, Lord, this has been a fabulous, wonderful, fabulous evening.
People can't go to a loved one's funeral. People can't get to their government, petition their representative to redress their grievances. Oh, my goodness. I also understand the First Amendment's pretty darn important, and it's been a year, and I want to know when Americans will get those First Amendment liberties back.
Well, you just said people cannot assemble in their own homes. They can. That's a CDC recommendation for that.
Last fall they couldn't. I didn't hear. Not last fall they couldn't.
I didn't hear what he said.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want you to answer my question. The American people want Dr. Fauci to answer my question. Oh, my goodness. What does it have to be?
Fire, sir. If you need to respect the chair and shut your mouth.
Don't worry about this. We're going to handle this. And I think Mr. Jordan knows me very well. And he knows full well that we're going to handle this. Your time has expired.
Are you still worried about what your father said in there?
Mm-hmm. I was laughing all the way through that.
I think it's the makings of a hit.
Oh, my God. It's so funny.
Inspired by the Harlem Globetrotters cartoon, believe it or not. But that was a recording that we somehow got hold of here at the Andy DeMander Show. Yes. This is the Love, Intimacy, Sex, Religion program, although you'd never know it. On the Andy DeMander Show, we're going to dive into these matters because we want to continue, in fact, the conversation that we just had on Wednesday, and we're going to dive into that right after this.
In a very responsible way, okay? When I was younger and I was waiting, I would tell guys, I'm not ready to have sex yet. Is that okay? And anytime guys are really cool about that decision, that just made me want to have sex with them more because there is nothing hotter than someone respecting your boundaries. You're just like, what? Take your pants off. Get over here. The hottest thing you can say to a girl is, hey, we don't have to do anything. Now we do.
And then I thought, well, wait a minute. How am I going to get a guy to be interested in me unless he thinks I'm experienced? No guy wants to sleep with a virgin. I didn't know that either. So I spread a rumor about myself. I told everyone that at age 18, entering college in 1992, that I'd already fucked 10 guys. Not a lot of 10 guys. I mean, not now, but then that was a lot. 10 guys at 18 was a lot. Some people don't have 10 people in their town. 10 guys. And 1992 was an innocent, innocent time. Beverly Hills 90210, Brenda and Dylan, they waited a year to lose their virginity to each other. Dylan was an alcoholic who lived by himself. He was a virgin. It was an innocent time. So then no guys wanted to have sex with me because they thought I had an STD because I'd fucked 10 guys. And so I went year after year after year not getting laid until I met someone who transferred into my college my senior year, and he hadn't heard the rumors, and I didn't tell him. Now, we had sex. It was fun. It was fine. I don't remember every detail because it was so long ago, but it was lovely, and I walked home that day just, you know, listening to my Discman, listening to Madonna, you know, the Bedtime Stories album. I'm like, I get it. I'm sexual too, Matt.
This is where we draw the line. Got it, got it, got it.
And,
yes. Here.
Yes.
And moving right along, yes, in this show, we're going to have a conversation. You can join the conversation, by the way, by dialing 515-605-9888. We are waiting here to take your calls. Whether we do take them or not is, you know, subject to discussion. But we are waiting for them, and then we'll decide when they come in if we take them or not. But no, really, you call us. We'd love to get you engaged in our conversation about the experiences that you've had regarding relationships and love and sex and coming together and breaking up, as the case often is, getting engaged,
yeah,
getting married, changing your mind, you know, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Yes.
It's an important conversation. Don't you think so?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I agree with that. Yes, 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 yes. I'm sure many other people would agree with that too. So, yeah. Where should we start, Andy? That's the question.
Well, we should start with what? Let's talk about. Oh, I got an idea. What we're gonna do is let's talk about some subjects and some answers. Actually, with an interview and excerpts from a Britain show called Between the Sheets, which I interjected. And we're going to hear some, you know, so let's take a listen to this and we'll pick up the conversation.
Cool.
This is from UK.
We'll go over a couple of points here based on a survey done over in UK, is that a third of women and two-thirds of men are not satisfied with their sex life.
When most people say they're not satisfied with their sex life, they generally mean the amount of sex. Now, we know that men and women have the same libidos, but there are lots and lots of reasons why women don't want sex as much as men do. Number one is that they tend to take on more, so they have less energy. And number two is, again, what we're talking about with the blog, is orgasms. Women have far less orgasms than men do, so there's less motivation for them. I mean, almost every single time a man has sex, he has an orgasm. About 30% of women regularly orgasm with their partners. So there's a big motivation difference there. Also, women tend to need an emotional connection with sex, whereas men prefer their sexual needs met before they're sort of inclined to motivate themselves to provide that emotional connection. So you can have quite a nasty chain reaction, as you can imagine.
And that same survey commissioned by Britain's Between the Sheets also found that about half the women worried about their men not being happy with their sex life.
I think we have this unrealistic expectation of sex. I think I blame all that on TV shows. Honestly, quite reputable TV shows have, like, couples who've been together for 20 years suddenly overcome by spontaneous lust and late for work, and it's like I'm shouting at the television, it doesn't happen like that. And people watch this and then they look at their own sex life and think, well, that's not what I'm doing. Mm. So my partner must really think that he's missing out. So they're worrying about stuff that isn't actually real.
That same survey also showed that nearly half of women and men would like to be more adventuresome in bed. As a matter of fact, one in four women would like to act out some type of sexual fantasy in the future, and 60% have never told their partners.
I found that one in four women quite low, because since 50 Shades of Grey, whatever you think of the book, it's had a massive, massive effect on women acting out fantasies. And I get dozens of emails from women saying that, you know, can you give me practical tips on how to act out scenes from the book, mild scenes from the book? And that hasn't stopped, so I'm surprised it was that low. In terms of not telling your partner, I really am of the camp that you shouldn't necessarily tell your partner sexual fantasies, because I think people seriously think that it's a secret wish that you want to do something, and it's not necessarily, and you can get yourself in all sorts of trouble. So if you do want to try something new, like being tied up like it was in the book, you're better off saying, you know, I'd like to be tied up, than you are saying, I'm having fantasies about being tied up.
Huh.
So my comments on that intriguing discussion is what you, is, you know, we touched upon this in, on Wednesday. Is the drive to have sex, to finish sex?
Well, I think that's a tricky one, because I'm sure that a lot of people going into the situation, the activity itself, you know, I that's probably not what they're starting to think about when they do that. But I mean, during, sure, I can imagine that, because you get that sensation build up, right? That pleasure. So with that said, you know, it builds and it builds, and then for a woman especially, and I'm pretty sure for a man as well, but you get to that point where you really want to reach that point, because your body is saying, please, I need to reach that point right now. So yes and no, that's the way I see it, yes and no. You go into it with not necessarily achieving that, you just want to experience that connection and that feeling between you and how good it feels, and then during, sure, it can sway that way, right? I mean, that's what makes sense to me.
I guess that is that would explain why almost every girl I ever dated married the next guy after me. Story of my life, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Why is that, Andy? Why is that?
Oh, gosh. No, I'm learning why now. It's all coming together.
Oh, no. No, I mean, I think there's plenty of people out there who, you know, don't even get to that point and they still enjoy the experience. And then there's a lot of people that get disappointed when they can't reach that point, because they were really looking forward to having that. Because it's like, let's face it, the sensation itself is a very beautiful feeling. And it leaves you in that kind of euphoric state, which, you know, everything is like flowers and hearts and everybody's like gooey-eyed and everybody feels good and they want to get up and they want to eat something or smoke a cigarette. So there's that euphoric sensation that everybody looks forward to. But
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just wonder what... okay, as relationships continue, let's say I'm trying to just dial back and thinking, okay, here's a guy and a girl, guy and a guy, whatever, a relationship, whatever it might be, and meet each other. Is the initial attraction when you meet somebody, what attracts you when you first meet somebody? Is it the eyes, how the personalities, their sense of humor, their looks, their physical appeal? What is it
For me personally?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, so when I meet somebody personally, what usually attracts me to them is... always, number one, personality. They've got to have that something about them that reaches me and connects with me. Otherwise, they could be the most prettiest person or most attractive person in the world. But if they're an asshole and they say things that don't sit well with me, then I'm not going to find that connection there with them. And yeah, I may get to know them over time and think, well, okay, well, actually, you're not as bad as I thought. But however, you know, I mean, there's moments, of course, when you meet somebody and you find them extremely sexually attractive. That happens. But I couldn't be in a relationship with somebody or want to get with somebody if I just felt, oh, yeah, I'm sexually attracted to you. However, I don't like the way your personality is. I don't like the way you're coming across to me. Because ultimately, I know that as a result, yeah, the sex may be great. And that experience may be great because, hey, I'm physically attracted to you, but if there's no decent conversation or mental connection there, that's something that says, that speaks to me, that they're able to connect with me and that, and read me in that way, then I just know ultimately it's just going to fail, and I get to the point where I'm like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
What is the point? So, yeah, I mean, you know, and in terms of physically, there's a lot of things, you know, there's the way someone smiles, and yeah, their eyes is always a beautiful thing, and I think that tends to capture my attention, sure, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what about you, Andy?
I've actually, thinking back, I've never actually met a girl and asked her out for a date in my life.
No.
I always, I'd be the one, you know, I'd go on out, you know, I got married late in life and so forth, and you know, but I had, you know, spent a lot of time being a single guy, and even though it also a lot of time in long-term relationships, but definitely, if you tally up the time between those relationships, it would be at least a year. Anyway, so I've always been the one who would go out, and especially I've traveled a lot through my airline, you know, my aviation career, my music career, you know, sailing. I've always traveled a lot, and I'd go out to places and bars and restaurants and hang out joints and all over, and be the guy who just kind of stands there and watches all the action, so to speak. You know, watches how
yeah.
guys meet girls, and either sitting with my drink and watching, you know, some girls at the counter being, you know, the ones, well, they're really pretty. You know, I'd never be the one who.
That what might leave in the minds of some of our viewers and listeners a connotation of which would be inaccurate.
That's true.
Aww.
I did meet one girl. And stand around and wonder, maybe collaborate on this. When guys go up to, you know, in, let's say, non-COVID, obviously, you go up to your hangout in a public cafe or in a bar or a restaurant, whatever it might be, you're hanging around, and there's a bunch of people, and there's music, and noise, and glasses are clanging, and people are pouring drinks, and having a good time, and getting happy hours, snacks, whatever, and guys, and you've been there, I'm sure, guys walk up, and what I've always been back watching that, because I'd go up and say, come here often, what's your sign?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'd ask me what my sign is, I'd come back with, like, slippery when wet, you know, I don't know, what the, freezes before road surface, I don't know, what the hell, what am I,
yeah.
I don't know,
yeah.
But anyway, so I think I wouldn't know what to do, and I've always envied that. You know, a guy just walks up to the girl and you see that conversation, and they're sitting there talking for 15, 20 minutes or whatever, and they're having a good time, and they're laughing, and sometimes they drift off, or sometimes they don't. But I always wondered what happens in those conversations, because I never did that. I wouldn't even know what to do. I would have no idea how to go up to a girl who I see who's attractive and just start a conversation. I couldn't do it. So
yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do. So what happens? Tell us what goes on.
I'm no expert, so I mean, Andy, I'm in the same boat as you, my darling. I've never actually approached somebody and asked them out. It's always been the other way around, and I feel very blessed about that, you know, that, you know, I've been approached in that way, so I've never had to do that frightening part. However, placing myself mentally in that position, how I would approach it, I've often thought about that. And I can understand the mental block that people get when they approach somebody, because you get nervous, you know, you really like the look of this person, the way they are, and you feel, okay, so how am I going to say this? What am I going to do? Is this person going to like me? Are they, you know, going to reject me? And you get all that anxiousness, and that's what then sends the mind into the chaos of, I can't find the right thing to say to them. So personally, if it was me, I'd be, you know, approaching somebody, say, hey, how you doing? And you're having a good night? That's a good question. Are you having a good night? You know, I really like this place. You know, just start that conversation going, yeah, you know, I've come here to meet some friends, or somebody hasn't turned up, or, you know, and enjoying my drink. And, you know, so it's just getting that casual conversation going instead of thinking, okay, what can I ask them about themselves? So, you know, the classic cliche question of, do you come here often? Everybody knows that and they kind of expect that. But by saying, okay, are you having a good night? And do you like this place? Then, you know, it triggers other possibilities of answers of, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I don't come here that often, or, you know, it's my first time.
Do we just lose you? Oh, we just lost you for a second. You're back. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yep. Sorry, yeah. You know, asking those types of questions then gets that ball rolling and opens up the space for more conversation to take place instead of asking direct questions, more talk about your environment of, you know, I really like this place, you know, I don't usually come here. You can start by saying those things yourself and then see what the other person comes back with. And if the conversation struggles, then I think then you tend to panic, right? You think, well, what am I going to say next? And maybe that's a point where you pull away because you see that other person's possibly either nervous or just not that interested, and you can kind of get an assessment from that situation. Or you just pause for a moment and then, you know, you'll start to think about something else you may want to say. But you know, that's just my take on it. Instead of asking direct, just talk about the situation as it is.
We have somebody else that I want to shed some their experiences on the show with this. I'm bringing this caller in, who I think, judging from where it's coming from, it must be the one and only, the talented, the amazing, the capable, the driving force behind all mankind.
It's me.
Hey
guys, how you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Andy and Amanda, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing real great. I call in and talk about lust.
Ooh. Lust.
Andy,
okay.
Love show. Andy, well,
Amanda.
We realize that you're a happily married guy, and you know, on the phone, and met your wife and so forth, and she is lovely, I must say. Lovely, lovely woman you're married to. But knowing all that, I'm putting that aside just for a minute. Well, we can put it aside for more than a minute, actually. Now, going back to single days, we're just talking about, like, if you go into a bar or restaurant and you meet, you know, you're just hanging out, you're going to meet people, whatever, and being a guy and you see some attractive girl at the bar or whatever. Have you been a guy that was able to go up to a girl you were attracted to, you've never met, and engage in a conversation that led to something, or even a delightful time that evening at the bar by itself, let alone anything beyond that? But have you ever done that?
What, talk to a girl at the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you been able to approach somebody and, you know, yeah.
When I was single, that's all I used to do. I used to flirt with a lot of girls. I'd try to talk to them and try to pick them up and all that stuff and, you know, have fun and party. Sometimes I get lucky, sometimes I don't.
Amanda and I are—it's amazing. And you know, again, Amanda and I have never met. You know, we hope to do so sometime after COVID, but we've never met. And the more, you know, we speak and the more episodes we do of the show, I'm like, God, she's like a twin of me over there in terms of her life experiences, practically. You know, because I was thinking Amanda, you know, would have been at a bar and been part of that scene and so forth and had different people approach her, because I've never been part of that scene. And then I find out that, well, Amanda hasn't either. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is not planned.
It's fun. I'm sorry.
Not planned, but it's fine. Your timing couldn't be better, because it was a question I just kind of brought up. We're talking about how people meet and what follows thereafter, and neither one of us have really ever been in it. Have done that. So, we told you about the subject matter we're speaking of. So, can you elaborate on
when I was single and everything, when I was single back in the days, far, I used to have fun, you know, being single and everything. It's fun being single. But then, you know, you have fun and you dating all types of people, but then here comes the drama with it. You know, you be like, all right, I'm dating all these girls. I'm spending my money, my little money that I have, just, you know, talking to this other person, taking this person out this week, And then after that, you be like, oh my gosh, I need to find somebody that I could just settle down with and just give up me, just me. But single life is wild. It's fun. But then it has these differences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you spend a minute and let's say you're at a bar and people are talking, hey, how are you doing? Oh my gosh, oh, there's an and I'm the girl sitting at the bar.
Oh, you want to know my pickup line? That's what you're saying, Andy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is my pickup line. Back in before E.T. movie came out. It's been a long time. But my pickup line was this. I said, oh, how you doing? And I start talking about subjects like, have you seen the new Star Wars? And they'd be like, huh, this guy is kind of weird, but he's talking about Star Wars. And for some reason, the girl be like, yeah, I. And then we start talking about Star Wars and different movies and next thing. And then I'll be like, oh, man, we got to talk more. And by the way, is it okay if I get your number? I mean, if you have anybody or anything, I mean, I'll walk away. And she'd be like, well, I don't have anybody, but I'm in a relationship. But sometimes they'd be like, well, take down my number. And I'd be like, we could just be friends and everything. And next thing, we start talking and we start becoming friends and start talking and start hanging out. And that's when the evilness come out of her.
You know what I have done? A couple of times I've actually met people, I like to make a grand entrance. So you're at this bar in this public place, you know, and there's people, the girls sitting around, and they're hanging out, maybe three or four, and I walk into the bar, you know, I come into the front door, and right away,
you know who could get all the girls and picks when they pick up the quiet person. For some reason, people are drawn to quiet people. When you're sitting there, just very mysterious, that's when people really want to talk to you.
My favorite, you know what my favorite pickup line is? My favorite one of all. That seems to be the one that really nailed it for me every single time.
In a relationship, you have to make time for sex.
Nah.
Oh, that's a good pickup line. How did you make up with that?
can we talk? Oh.
Was you ducking or was you, you know? Were they throwing bottles? What happened?
Get away!
But I think. Or when you're a single guy, it to me is fun, but then it starts getting boring, and that's why I'm married because I'm basically I just got tired dating all types of girls and living like my idol David Lee Roth, and I basically just say you know what I'm going to settle down because I'm tired, and I settled down and met a beautiful young lady and. Chilled out.
Aww. I remember going to this great thing.
That sounds boring, don't it, guys? That sounds boring.
I
remember being at this big outdoor place big on the river, a great big music venue outdoor, and I with a friend of mine. We're hanging out, and I saw this really attractive girl. I was, and she was. I mean, everybody's. She's standing there talking to a friend. And she was absolutely magnificently gorgeous, and I was pacing back and forth, and my friend told me, he said, "We're not leaving here until you go up to her and say something." I can't do that. I could not do it. But I needed a line. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? You know, I had to try it. You know, what's the worst comes to worst. She'll say, you know, whatever. It just won't work. And I'll never see her again in my life. What do I care, right? So I got to pick an appropriate line. So I'm thinking. Finally, I came up with this one, and the rest is history.
You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this way about this. You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this way.
I really know that guy. he should be a host on a show, guys.
So, the rest is just, I tried it.
Well, guys, I love you guys. I have to run. And
okay.
I miss you and enjoy the rest of the show. Have a great weekend.
Miss you too, darling.
And and
yeah, and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, we're always doing that.
Enjoy life and
stop.
I don't know. But I'm getting like Andy, right?
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, take care, guys.
All right, Sita. Thank you for coming on. We love you.
Only on the Andy and Amanda show.
Yeah.
Love you too.
You bet.
Take care.
Later on that one. Have a good afternoon there.
You know what it is. Soon as I'm like, all right, guys, within an hour, I'm like, yo, how's the numbers? No, I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't gonna talk. Right? I'm like, yo, dudes, what's up?
I know.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. Enjoy, guys.
Have a good one, sweetheart.
You too, sweetheart. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up, Butler. Thank you very much. We'll be back way after this message.
Dear Mainland, aloha. My brother and I keep hearing about your fear of missing out, FOMO, running this way and that to try and do every little thing. Maybe you don't worry about FOMO. Instead, maybe you try a little slow-mo with a cold cone of beer. Brother, you get FOMO, no more. One life, right? Don't blow it. Mahalo.
Anyway, as cone of beer, folks, that's our beer of choice. And we like playing these spots because the product itself is amazing. And that's we have this passion for Kona beer, which I discovered in Hawaii a couple years ago and never looked back. Amanda has not tried Kona beer yet, right? We have to make that happen.
I have not. No.
I don't think they have it in the UK. What beer is there? Like if you had do you drink beer? I don't even know if you drink beer.
Yeah. Yeah, of course I do. I mean, I was always curious as to what the difference was between beer and lager, because obviously I've had both. But so we got obviously Budweiser, we've got, I think it's Carlton, Kronenbourg, we've got, oh my God, my mind's gone blank. Corona, oh my goodness, Carlsberg.
We have the other one. That could be a whole, that could be a whole other show. We should do that. Let's pencil that in. We should do it and have some experts on, some brewmasters and so forth. You talk about craft beers and the difference between IPAs and lagers and all this. That would be a really interesting show, wouldn't it, though?
That would be. It'd be fun, actually. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's plan that. Let's plan on doing that. We'll do that.
Cool. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I'm drinking a beer at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You mean you're not?
Yeah, it's a topic. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's a great
idea. Anyway, so starting to meet with somebody, okay, so you first, we're getting back to that. So we're meeting somebody, whether it be at a public gathering, whether it's, hey, maybe it could be at a social event. It could be you meet somebody, you're invited by a friend or somebody to go attend a wedding, and you see somebody else single there. I've heard people have met and got married by meeting at weddings and so forth. But what, I'm just wondering if, moving along, talking about relationships and actual being related. What is being related? We dive into that. But when you meet somebody and relationship moves along, is the initial attraction? I'm just trying to think. As biological beings, is the drive a physical sexual drive initially? What is it that draws that acts as a magnet that draws two people together?
Huh. Okay, again, for me, I think it can be both ways. It can be the type of personality. If somebody's got a great sense of humor, because let's face it, that is so appealing if somebody's got a great sense of humor, because that means they're not taking life so seriously. And if you're the type of person who enjoys humor, then that's great. For me, that's one big thing. The second is, obviously, like I said, it's the general personality, how they present themselves, how they speak, what their thoughts are. Like, for example, if somebody's going to sit there and they're like gossiping and being very judgmental, that's an instant turn off. It really is, because I think, your character for me is just, that's not good, because if I'm going to be around this person, and, you know, how's that going to make me feel, and blah, blah, blah. That type of thing doesn't sit well for me. So again, personality, sense of humour, they're great things that catch my attention. And of course, yes, you've got the physical aspect of those things. You know, how if they look attractive to you, it could be a simple thing by how they wear their hair or that certain look in their eyes and the way they smile or, you know, other physical features that people get drawn to. So, yeah, for me, it's always been that spiritual, mental, humorous kind of connection more than anything else, because at the end of the day, that's what I connect with more. It's great to be physically attracted to someone, sure. And if you can find that whole package, oh my goodness, it's the best thing. And I think people throw themselves out there too easily and too quickly. And then, you know, when that certain person comes along that, you know, you've always hoped you would meet, and, you know, you're with somebody else, then that can be a very, very difficult and painful situation to be in, because, you know, you thought that other person was, you know, everything that you wanted, but the reality is this other person's actually showing you, well, hey, no, I'm actually everything you wanted. That can be very, very challenging.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was one of these people, Andy, that didn't throw myself out there a lot. You know, I was always shy, you know, insecure about that type of thing. I was the type of person that was willing to wait for the right one to come along rather than go out to a club, sit there and, you know, gower the room and think, okay, so who looks attractive and appealing tonight? And, you know, could I be going out on a date with this person? That was never me. I'd always thought that I would meet somebody and it would just be like, okay, so this person's cool. I really like them. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's how it's been with me. I'm the same, you know, I've always been too far on the other side. In other words, I'm mostly thinking back that,
yeah,
I was very conscious of meeting a girl and wanting to, in the onset, making sure she knew that I was not trying to solicit any other kind of relationship outside of just, hey, you know, how you doing? Let's talk about life. Let's hang out. Let's, you know, there's no, you know, those, you know, but then, you know, then of course I would come up with this line.
I have been expecting you.
And that would, you know, pretty much, you know, yeah. And so one time, you know, I did, what's the recording of this pickup line I used?
Four carriers of the plague who will infect their miserable brethren.
Come up to a girl, and I would just say something like that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know? Isn't it weird, though, that you and I, like, think along the same lines or have had similar experiences? That's just crazy.
It is. And then we meet. We've never met. But here we are, 8,000 miles away. And in our lives, you know, you've been through your life, I've been through my life, you know, and you know, just kind of fast, you know, play a fast forward movie. How's it going again?
A little.
And, but and then here we are meeting on the show, which is, you know, a lot of people, and even guests, you know, we've talked to after they've been on the show, as you probably heard as well, you know, we say, you know, we've never met, and they're like, really? Well, you know, wow, really? And you never, you know, it's kind of cool, though, and that's you know, here we are, we, like, it's not like we know what we're doing, or it's not like we even know what we're talking about, but we try to just, we're just two people out there who, you know, like to make a difference and engage ourselves in the world, what's going on around us and all different aspects and walks of life and engage people who have different walks of life and have a conversation. And we just think this conversation about sex is always one we like to dive into. I've had girls come up, you know, more so than the other way. I've had more girls come up to me and ask me how I am doing, and my, you know, I always come back with.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Oh. Yeah. I wonder how many people do ask China. Poor China.
did we mention that this is the also the free flowing freaky Freaky Friday show, you know?
Oh, we didn't actually, but yeah, that's very, very true. You know, I said to you earlier, Andy, Andy and I communicate through social media and...
Telepathy.
Yes, telepathy, yeah, and social media. Yes. We were like, I said to Andy, okay, so I got that Friday feeling, whatever that feeling is.
Yeah,
Andy's
right.
Like, hungry? Oh, yeah, or some ice cream.
I'm going to get after the show. I'm going to get me some, too.
Good.
You know, I have the feeling, too, on Fridays. You know, typically Fridays, it hasn't happened with me at all. It's got to be on Friday because, you know, I'm kind of feeling, you know, on Fridays. That's it.
Yeah.
On Fridays, that's about it for me, you know. Friday, you know,
oh, like an old pogo stick.
Outside of that.
No.
No respect, you know?
I know. It's cruel. It really is.
It is cruel.
But I think, where did that term come from, that Friday feeling? I'm sure it was on some sort of advert or some advertisement.
I've never heard that before.
You haven't?
Oh,
I think then, yeah, I'm thinking it's an advertisement that was playing in the UK once about having that Friday feeling. It's probably for something like chocolate or, you know, maybe alcohol, who knows, right?
it could be. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I heard it on an advertisement and it kind of stuck. Got that Friday feeling. But of course, to me, it represents, it's the end of the week. People got the weekend. They're looking forward to the weekend. Yeah, I got that Friday feeling. Yeah, let's do this. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
my
know.
Perception. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So let's talk. So let's talk about sex now. What's your favorite thing about sex?
My favorite thing about sex.
Mm-hmm.
okay. I did not expect that question.
If it doesn't work, separate amicably. And look for somebody new.
Okay, I'll try to answer this question as honestly as I can without making a fool of myself. So I think my favorite thing about it is, I sound boring, okay, but it's that connection with somebody, you know, knowing that you're about to connect with them on that fun and beautiful level. That feeling you get from it all, not just the physical feeling, but, you know, that something between you, that spark, that just gorgeousness, that's the part that I love the most. And, of course, yeah, the feeling is amazing, right? It is, and there's no getting away from that. But that's the way I kind of sway with this. I mean, it depends.
Yes.
I deep you want to go, no pun intended, but...
Yes.
I mean...
Amanda Love on the spot here on the Andy Miller show.
Yeah, and I'm sure the audience can tell I'm blushing right now, so,
I love when you blush. Anyway.
Thank you. How about you, Andy? You're not getting away with that one.
For me, I think
everybody has this idea that threesome is going to be the best sex ever, whatever.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
I just go right for that. You know, you bring somebody else as a mixed. No, I'm. For me, I was thinking about it while you were speaking. Little experience I have in the matter is making the experience great for the other person, not me. I don't really care about me that much.
Yes, of course. You know, that's a gorgeous thing to know that what you're doing is making them feel amazing, right? I mean, there's. I'm sure a lot of people will look at this like, oh, yeah, it's a big ego trip, right? Knowing that you're making your partner feel good. It's like, yeah, I'm getting off on that. But there is something very special knowing that you're helping them to feel absolutely amazing. And I think that's a part of the beauty of the act itself, is knowing that what you're doing is done out of love and helping them to feel incredible with you and about you, and ultimately about themselves as well. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
So I think that now that I think about it, it's the whole experience for me is not about me. That's what's so, it's about the other person.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I think this sounds really judgmental. So I apologize to our listeners who are probably thinking this, okay, what I'm about to say, but I'm sure there's people out there that it's very selfish. Sex can be very selfish for people. It's like once they get into the act, expecting their partner to go above and beyond and please them without making much effort themselves, because it should always be a 50-50 thing. And there's probably insecure partners out there who don't know how to give back as much as their partner gives to them. That's obviously a thing and understandable. And I think that's where all that communication and that support from the other one trying to guide them along to be that confident is a big thing as well, because, you know, it's like if your partner's there saying, it's okay, baby, try this or do this and let me show you how I like it, or, you know, how it could, you know, how we could do this, and it's okay, you're not going to muck up, you're not going to make me feel bad, let's just relax and have fun with this and enjoy the moment for what it is, there's no pressure. That's a beautiful thing. If somebody can do that, then I'm sure the insecure one will be like, you know what, he's making me feel good about this, yeah, let me just try this, as nerve-wracking as it can be sometimes, because I think sex can be where it's so intimate and so vulnerable and exposed and naked, let's face it, that, you know, you're at your most vulnerable point, and I think people can feel very insecure about how to perform and be in that moment and surrender and say, okay, this is me, this is what I sound like, this is how I move, this is how I experience this, and people can shut down and or be very anxious. And again, anxiety affects performance, so that can have a big impact. But I think if that other partner is willing to guide them along the way and allow them to open up in their own pace, wow, that could be an amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think you're absolutely right. And, I don't think to me sex is not what you physically do. It's about what you share together. And that's the whole experience. Even if, I've had relationships, very few of them, I say that. I can count the amount of one-night stands I've had, I think, on one hand. I mean, fewer. I mean, just, but most relationships I've had, physical relationships, have been more than one-night deals. I've just, a few. They've been there, and I remember one occasion I woke up the next morning and said, what the hell am I doing here? You know, why don't I do this? What the heck am I doing here? It's not me. It's just not me. You know. And there also have been times when you'll get a kick out of this. Imagine this: girl invites you over. I'm there, taking a tour of her house. Oh, this is great. Have some drinks, a little marijuana or something, whatever. We hang out, and shows me your bedroom. Throws me down on the bed, and then, you know, I'm lying next to her. She's lying next to me. She was closer. I move away. She was closer. I move away. Kissing me all around the bed. All around. Round and round. I'm like, whoop, a couple inches closer. I'm a couple inches further away. Whoop, a couple inches closer. I'm a couple inches further away. And that's actually, when I think about it, in different, not just that one scenario, but similar ones, the shorter term, you know, the one night stands, or maybe it's been more than a couple nights, you know, but a couple, you know, the short, real short physical relationship, you get together, you do something, you have to break, you make dinner, boom, you hit the sack right away, boom, you know, that's, you know. I've only been there very few times. I know guys and girls who definitely have more experience than I have in that regard, with the shorter-term relationships, shorter-term physical relationships. The more I think about it, the more I realize now, because health, I don't really think about that much, in my own life, that there's been many, many more women aggressors than I've been an aggressor.
Right, okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting not thinking about it, because normally you think about, women think about, you know, being picked up, or men have a one-track mind. Just ended up, my experience is that women have one-track minds.
They can do. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Very much so.
And it may also be because I'm so the other way that maybe that's more of that. And that's just naturally I'm not proud of that. Because I probably lost out on a lot of experiences I could have had in my life that I didn't have, because, as a matter of fact, I know I have.
Yeah,
You know, I knocked myself in the head thinking, oh, man, it was right there. I mean, oh, man, I could have been amazing. She's gorgeous. What a body. Da, da, da. And there I was just, God. And then some other guy.
Walking
home by myself again. Anyway, no. And you know, it's really funny. The more I think about this too, and it's nothing I think about that much. It's kind of cool having this conversation. And that after somebody meets me, because I have conversations and to engage and share life and talk about things that matter and things that don't matter equally, And I'll tell somebody how shy I was and how shy I am. I'm no different. And they said, you're kidding me. I'm very comfortable with people, very comfortable with strangers, and very comfortable, socially. Yeah. But when it comes to meeting people, I'm like, and it's funny because my wife, we talked about that, we're out with other couples, because the first time we met, I had another girlfriend, and we were just kind of breaking up. And we didn't say two words to each other. As a matter of fact, even while we started, going out, I wasn't very, outgoing that much, And people say, Andy? They say, you? What?
I know, right? I get the same response, though, because everybody that I talk to, they're like, oh, my God, you're so confident, and, you're so friendly with people and open with people. And yet in certain situations, I tend to not exactly shut down, but I go quiet. Like that confidence with certain things. Like, again, approaching somebody to, say, oh, yeah, you're attractive, I really like you, can we go on a date or something, like, I'm just throwing it out there, but I mean, I think that's why I've never done it, because I'm just not that type of person to approach somebody like that. And if I saw all the signs and this person was showing just how much they were into me, I think then I would feel much more confident about allowing the space for something to happen, because then I'm not doing all the work and it doesn't feel like a big scary thing for me to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And like I said, I've been very blessed enough to have people approach me and not the other way around. And I'm very thankful for that, because I think a lot of the time I would probably avoid it just because, how insecure and nervous I would get with that situation. I'm a bit of a social one like you, Andy. So, people get shocked when I say to them, well, actually, I'm not as confident as you think I am or how I appear. I think we all have that issue with confidence sometimes, and I think even the most confident people in the world have their own insecurities and hang-ups, and they're just very good at masking them with confidence, ironically enough. So, I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I wonder. So, what was I going to say? Now let's get down dirty. This is a family show. No, I guess it really is. It's a mature audiences show. It's a mature audiences show, especially this one. We have a caller. Let's pick up this caller here, and we'll skip the screen, and we'll go right on to the show. Hello, caller. Who do we have joining us here on the Andy and the Mandy show?
Yeah, my name's Joe. Can you hear me?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Welcome aboard.
Okay, thanks. I saw the title, the headline of your show. I don't quite remember it word for word, but it was something like intimacy, religion, sex, and love.
Yes.
So I thought I'd come by and see what you guys were talking about.
Oh,
well,
cool.
Well,
thank you for
whatever you want to talk about, Joe, we're all ears. But very, thank you for joining the show.
Oh, no problem.
It's great to have you, sweetheart.
Have you talked to... Oh, thanks. Have you talked about relationships? Because that's my bailiwick. I like relationships, and I like politics.
Yeah.
And I like to talk about what causes relationships to work, what causes them not to work.
Okay.
How should you look for the right person, things like that. Is
yeah.
that what this
okay.
show's about?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're covering, yeah, aren't we, Andy? We're covering all sorts of areas like that. We're literally covering the generalization of it all, and, you know, we've discussed certain questions about different areas, like you just suggested. Is there a certain area, not necessarily area, but is there a specific kind of thing in mind that you want to, or want us to talk about and share with you?
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Any of those four issues that I mentioned, like, for example, I think that's the bottom line, is what people are looking for since your show, for today anyway, is about intimacy,
yeah.
religion, sex, and love.
Yeah.
How can a person find, as much as possible, the right person?
Okay.
I've asked relationship counselors,
yeah.
what does a woman have to do in order to enhance the relationship that she's in? What causes breakups? How can people resolve the breakup? So any of those issues that you two want to jump in on, I'll be glad to contribute.
Okay. Well, we've been discussing today, and more so the last show, I was talking about how communication is such a major thing in relationships. Because, you know, past experience, and if you haven't got that communication with a person, before the relationship or during the relationship, then you tend to have more issues and things start to break down more because you're trying to be a mind
yeah.
reader to each other, hoping that the other person knows what you're thinking about, what you're feeling, what you're expecting from them. And that never works because no one's a mind reader in that sense. And then the other person gets upset and angry that certain things are not happening in the relationship and so on. And I think that's when a relationship starts to break down. In terms of, I think, finding the one, that's always a tricky situation because, you know, there's so many people out there who really, really want to meet somebody and find the one for them. And quite often I find that first you got to know yourself, what is the type of person that is the one for you. Like, making a list of those things is such a great way to because you'll then find detailing all the things you would love to find in a person, and some of it can be realistic and some of it is unrealistic because not everybody is perfect in every single way. You know, we all have our flaws, and
right.
but quite often mm-hmm. quite often you'll meet somebody and they will match a lot of the criteria that you have, you know, those personal things about somebody that you really love and desire, and that'll be that spark, and you'll just think, yeah, this feels good, this feels right. There's been people who've gone to dating sites and they found the one that way because that something in them was saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't know what to expect from it. I don't know what's going to come from it. But I think it's all down to how you feel personally about the type of people you're meeting and going on that experience. If you're meeting somebody and it doesn't feel good or right, you know, what's the point of continuing with that? Because then you're leaving space open for maybe the right one to come along and show you and prove to you that this person is all those things you've been desiring and needing from someone. What's your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. You were breaking up a little bit. I think it's either you or my app. Most likely
oh, okay.
it's my app. Can you hear me?
Okay, darling. I can hear you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do,
yep.
I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
I'm going to call back in about 3 seconds if my app allows
okay.
me. Maybe this
okay.
that way I can hear you guys. I'll be
okay,
right back.
No problem,
I'll be right.
All right, Joe, we'll pick you right up. We'll pick Joe, and we'll pick his call up directly. You hear me okay, Amanda? Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you know, you sound better now than you were before, sweetheart.
Okay, great. All right, sorry about that.
Absolutely.
I hope. Good. Yeah, you know, and welcome, Joe. I'm sure we'll look for his call on the board here. And if you want to join the conversation in the 15 minutes we have left here on the Andy and Amanda show, our subject is love, intimacy, sex, and religion. We're going to bring Joe back on board. Our number here is 515-605-9888. And feel free to jump on board and join our conversation, which I think we're going to continue even into next week because it seems to be a pretty popular subject.
It really does. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, you're back on board with us. How do you hear us now, Joe? Welcome back.
Well, you sound fine. Amanda, say something so I can see if my app is working.
Okay, I'm here, sweetheart. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I'm okay. Both of you are better. All right.
Okay.
And you guys can hear me. So let
yes,
me,
we can hear you.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up that topic of communication because I am going to disagree with you. Here's
okay.
why.
Okay.
Everybody communicates, whether it's verbal or nonverbal.
Yeah.
But people think that communication is the key to a relationship. So they automatically believe that if you communicate well and if the other person understands what you're talking about, that's going to resolve the conflict or the problem.
Right.
But as we
okay.
all know, that doesn't happen. You
right.
can go to counseling and it won't
yeah.
happen. It all depends upon, is that spark still there? Do I want to continue with her? Do I want to continue with him? It boils down to, can I get the desire back? And I think communication helps, don't get me wrong. I think
yeah.
people should communicate. But if people believe that it's because I make my desires or I express myself in a forthright manner and you understand that therefore the other, let's say for example, I say to my girlfriend, baby, you've been coming home too late or I've asked you to do certain things, but you haven't done them. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. But she does it two or three or four times in a row.
Right.
Now
mm-hmm.
she's heard
mm-hmm.
me. She's mm-hmm. acknowledged that it's bothering me. But she continues
yeah.
to do it. So the communication
right.
is there, but it's the lack of desire.
I see.
So how do you
okay.
guys respond to that?
Yeah, I agree with you that, you know, for a start, communication is always the best way to start because then if the problem doesn't resolve itself, if you're not working together with that communication on the things that have been expressed, the problems that are there, then you've got to adjust how you approach that. And like you said, if the desire isn't there to make those changes, to do what's right between you, then yes, you have got a problem. And then you need to communicate, okay, this is the problem, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing seems to be changing within that relationship, our relationship, whatever it is. And I don't know how to move forward with this. Can we move forward with this? And then I think both of you have a clearer picture of the best way to go forward. And sometimes, as sad as it is, it can be that, you know, you two are no longer giving each other that the things you need in a relationship and in life, and you do have to part ways with that person. I think it can get to that point. But then there will be other people out there who believe that once you get into that relationship, if it's a marriage or something, it's more than just fulfilling your personal desires. It's about working together as a team to try and achieve a life in that relationship together. It can get very deep, and it can get, again, religion can come into that as well, with certain belief systems expressing that, you know, once you're married and in that marriage, you need to do certain things within that relationship to maintain it and keep it in the highest level. And it depends how far down a rabbit hole you want to go and what your own personal take is on relationships and, you know, how you feel
yep.
about them.
You also have to ask, you know, what are you committed to? You know, what is the commitment? You know,
yes.
the commitment's got to be there. Doesn't matter what the communication is, there's got to be underlying, there's got to be some kind of shared commitment. And if the commitment is there, then there's all sorts of pathways to maintain that commitment. But there is, if you get stuck in that world of upset, that prevents you from going down, you know, from furthering that road, from continuing that road. There's no empowerment. There's no forward direction out of the world of upset. And people tend to get in the world, you did this, this didn't work, I'm unhappy about this. And you get stuck in that conversation and kind of the commitment, the overall, the big picture. What are you committed to? What is the objective? Where do you want to go? What road do you want to go down when you share it together? And that kind of dissipates because you're stuck in that world of upset. And that's where, you know, underneath everything, there's got to be some kind of shared commitment. If that is not there, then the relationship doesn't stand a chance, whether it dissolves immediately or down the road. There's got to be
Absolutely.
Some kind of commitment.
Yeah, and I think people can go into a relationship very selfish as well. They have all these
mm-hmm.
personal desires and demands, and there's nothing wrong with desiring things from your partner. Again, communicating those desires is a beautiful thing, And quite often, you know, the right one, I say the right one loosely, okay, but the right one will quite often reflect those desires back to you, you know, reciprocate them because they know it makes you happy and it strengthens the relationship and they like doing that for you because they love you. However, like you said, Andy, if you're not committed to anything, if you have commitment issues, then the relationship can be doomed to fail right from the start. Definitely.
And you know, the bigger question is this, and how many of us can do this and do this effectively, is before you ask your partner, your date, your significant other, your husband, your wife, whatever it might be, how many of us can ask ourselves and answer it truthfully and effectively, what are you committed to? What are you committed to?
Yeah.
And if you could really define, it doesn't happen just like, oh, snap, oh, here's what I'm committed to, you know, to think about it. And if you know what you're committed to, and then you can share that same question with your significant other. What are you committed to? What are you committed to in life? How can I enhance your commitment? What can we do together to fulfill that commitment together?
I agree with both of you, Bob.
No,
I was about to say, I agree with both of you 100%. When it comes to the commitment part, that's what I would recommend to people. I'm not a relationship counselor, but from my talking to relationship counselors, I should be one. I say to people, before you get into a committed relationship, here's what you should do. You should be objective. You should sit down with a piece of paper. Both of you should write out what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, what the deal breakers are, and what you intend to do in case of conflict, in case of differences of opinion. How do you expect to handle it? Because that way, you'll find out. See, Amanda, what you were talking about a few minutes ago was that the spark in people feel as though they might have the right one. Well, see, that's the problem, because people get wrapped up in romance.
Yes.
Romance, to me, should be more evident after the relationship, not before, because then when you have somebody that actually is committed to each other, then you can show each other how you feel to a greater degree.
Yeah.
Now, if you sit down with a piece of paper, you're going to find out, okay, is this person on my level? Am I on her level? Is she on his level? Is he on her level? And personally, I always feel if you're going to see, that's the commitment. I commit myself to making sure that I please you in the ways that I know I can please you and in the ways that you want to be pleased. That's the purpose of the paper.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody afterwards, after you get committed, and the person, let's say again, let me give an example about a person not showing up on time. Now, what I can do is this. Some people have suggested, suppose she's always late by 15 minutes. So instead of saying, hey, babe, show up at 6 o'clock, he says, show up at 5:45. So then she'll be there at 6 o'clock. Okay. I can make that alteration. But if that still doesn't change anything, then I have to actually ask myself and ask her, babe, you go to work on time, don't you? You know you'd be fired from the job if you don't show up on time. Why can't you do that with me? And if after a while, if she doesn't change after 3 or 4 conflicts, then I feel I'm not going forward with this. What she said at the beginning was just to have me be her companion, and I'm ending the relationship. And in terms of marriage, Andy, you had talked about bringing in religion just like Amanda did and finding out, you know, the commitment and seeing if there's anything there that can make things better. Try it. But I'm a person that doesn't have that much patience. I'll give you a month or two at maybe, but it's so easy to please another person.
If you
can't do it, get out.
Yeah,
that's right. Feeling. Hey, Joe, we have another caller calling. I think we have Craig on the line. Craig, you with us? Welcome to the Andy and Amanda Show.
Hey, thank you much. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Craig. Welcome, darling.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing better than most, worse than a few.
There we go. We all. Today we're talking about here on the Andy and Amanda program, we're talking love, intimacy, sex, religion, how it all ties together, our stories of life and what our personal experiences are and what we want to share with others. And we're kind of winding down here, but we do have some time left on the show. But what would you like to talk about?
Well, we're talking about love. That's a good one right there. That covers everything.
It does, doesn't it?
Love covers everything. Love covers everything. And when you look back at your life, you have to be able to look at it through the eyes of love, because you can't see it any other way. You owe a debt. And the debt that you owe, you can't pay it. So that debt has been paid. So now it's just love. And love took care of everything. So now that that's all you have to give away, well, that's going to change everything. So now when people talk to you and they don't understand, because they've been relying on their feelings entirely too much, so much so that they don't even want to talk about it. And what happens when you do that is, what happens when you do that is you're not getting underneath your feelings, because your feelings is not who you are. You are underneath your feelings, okay? And it has nothing. Your feelings are there. Yes, we have feelings. They're there. They're meant to be enjoyed. We're enjoying ourselves. But then what happens if somebody says something or somebody's doing something that causes your feelings to become very powerful? Okay.
Yes.
That's the sign for you. That's like your feelings telling you, hey, look, something's wrong. Let's go take a look and see what's wrong in light of truth, which is underneath your feelings, which is the sacred place where you practice doing these certain things. But then you got these people that profane this sanctuary, all live on the surface, which is not what you do, because you are able to get underneath all that stuff so you can do what you do because that's what matters most to you.
Yes, yes. That makes a lot of sense. You're absolutely right there. And I don't think a lot of people see it that deeply, unfortunately, because like you said, we're so reliant on our feelings that our feelings are the indicators for so many things. And yes, they have their purpose in life. They have their purpose within us to guide us to so many things, the things that are wrong, the things that are right for us. In terms of a relationship, they shouldn't be the be-all and end-all of that communication, that commitment with each other.
But people don't have relationships that I see. They think they are, but they're not. Because when you have a relationship with somebody outside of yourself, then you have to pay attention to how they feel, because feelings are very important in a relationship. If somebody doesn't see your feelings, then you're invisible to them, and that pisses you off or hurts you or whatever. So you have to be able to pay attention to these things. But a lot of people don't do that. Not in a relationship, they don't, because people are too busy controlling each other, manipulating each other. And then if people have any feelings about what they're doing, then they exploit their feelings, and that's not a relationship. So I have to come in and help people to see this so that they can see what they can do to change this problem that they have. Because if you have problems, you just eat them for breakfast, and then you become the troubleshooter. And now you can rise above this stuff and be a leader. Because leaders are not going to talk about the problems all the time. They're not. They're going to get to the solutions.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. What I've always found also, in my limited experience, you know, Amanda and I will be the first ones to admit we know nothing about what we talk about on the show, but we have a fun time doing it, though. We do have a fun time doing it. But is that, you know, how many of us can, you know, think back and dig inside and figure out, you know, you get into a disagreement with somebody, you get into an argument with somebody, something doesn't go right. Now, how many of us can be accountable for what we say and how what we say lands? I remember thinking about this one day, and I'm recalling, I think it was my girlfriend at the time, but anyway, she may have been my wife then, Anyway, I remember late night, and I'm out, and I picked up the phone, and I called her, it must have been 1 o'clock in the morning, I called her, and she, you know, hey, this is Andy, what, I just got to tell you one thing, I just realized this, and she's like, what? I said, you know, because we had this, like, real petty arguments about this, and not nothing major, but little things, and I realized, you know, I never want to make the other person upset or angry or mad or disagree. I never want to do that. That's not my intent. That's not my purpose. That's not what this is all about. So that's how we come together and walking down that road together. And therefore, if I say something and you get upset about it, well, then I got to figure out what did I say and how did what I say land to make you be upset? Because what I want to do is have a discussion and be happy and
poor
be
guy.
Good. Hey guys, listen, we're going to come back on the subject. We're winding down the show. We're going to talk about this again on Wednesday's show. Monday we're talking about real estate and finance, so join us on the Monday show. Wednesday at the same time, we're going to be talking about love, intimacy, sex, and religion here on the Andy and Amanda show. I want to thank Joe, I want to thank Craig, and invite you back on Wednesday. Hey, call in anytime, but please join us on Wednesday's show. Same time.
Okay.
Same time. All right. And if you want, you know, we got to, I guess, wind down.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Okay.
You bet. Right. Amanda, take us home, Amanda.
Okay, on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, somewhere in the UK, thank you for joining us for another beautiful show. And tune in again on Monday, where we're going to have a lot of fun. And speak soon. Have a great weekend. Keep smiling.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Bye-bye now.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Yes. Bye. Take care.
Toodaloo.
The time has come for us to part.